When we speak of temptation, we speak and are referring to temptation as anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. Anything that promises satisfaction at the obedience to God. Almost all of us battle at one level or another unwanted behavior. Often something that plagued us maybe for our whole life. Maybe it's been in your family for generations. The key verse we started this series with is that which is full of so much hope, and it's filled with so much that helps us build our faith. And it is 1 Corinthians 10:13, where it says, there is no temptation that has taken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, we're all tempted. We're all tempted, and to be human is to be tempted. No temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Our God is going to be able to provide a way of escape from temptation so you are able to endure it. No matter what you are facing, no matter how deep the claws feel entrenched in you, our God is faithful and He will always give you a way out of temptation. When I do my strength training workouts with weights, I most often try to do less weight and more repetitions, where I have fatigued my muscles by the end of my workout. And the last exercise I do in my routine is the bench press. And I do two sets, trying to max out the number of repetitions on both sets. I start out pressing the bar smoothly and with relative ease. And then as the reps increase, the lactic acid has a way of setting in, and your muscles start to fatigue, and my arms become shaky and wobbly trying to get the bar up. I notice if I have a workout partner or someone that will spot me, that I can usually get in an additional rep or two just from the added encouragement. Come on, Strack, one more, just one more. And maybe as he's spotting me, he's helping me lift the bar during that last rep or two. It's interesting how some days you feel stronger and more energized than you do other days. That may feel that way not only physically but also emotionally and mentally. We may be like that. Some days I feel strong. I feel like I'm 22. And other days I feel weak and feel like 82. But regardless of how strong you feel, eventually weakness sets in. It's inevitable. The reality is, when it comes to dealing with the weight of temptation, you can be strong for a while. You can be strong for a season. You can have the ability to withstand some temptation for a little while. Eventually, though, if it keeps coming, and you're not prepared, and you're not prayed up and ready, you find yourself at a moment of weakness, and you end up doing something that you did not want to do or be a part of. Over time, you seem to be consistently weak to some of the same things. We ask ourselves, why am I so weak? If anybody messes up, they're going to say something along the lines of, I didn't want to gamble again. I know I get in trouble when I gamble, and I just felt so weak. I didn't want to look again. I prayed. I didn't want to look at the thing I'm not supposed to look at, but at that moment, I just felt so weak. I'm trying to eat better, and there it was. It was butter pecan ice cream covered with hot fudge and hot caramel, slowly oozing over the pecans and the cashews and the red cherry, along with a fresh, moist, decorated white cake with buttercream frosting. I didn't want to eat it all, but I just felt so weak. Why is it that our spirit can be so willing, but our flesh can be so weak? Why is it that our spirit can be willing, but our flesh so weak? The reason that we're often so weak is because we are not bonded. We are not bonded with what makes us strong. Often we are weak because we are not bonded by that which makes us strong. We're often weak because of that. We're weak and vulnerable because we're not abiding in the vine where we get our spiritual strength so we can produce fruit that is not of our own power, but it is of the power of the Holy Spirit within us. We're often weak because we haven't bonded with that which makes us strong. To illustrate, there was a really interesting study done by a guy by the name of Bruce Alexander. I think he was from Vancouver, a psychology professor. And he did a study on addiction by taking rats and putting them in a cage with water, regular water. But also in the cage was a second bottle of water filled with cocaine or heroin that was in the water. And he wanted to study what the rats would drink. Well, inevitably, the rats ended up getting addicted to the chemically based water. And 100% of the rats overdosed. 100%. He said, the conclusion is that we are chemically based towards certain things. And the neurological brain waves makes us more vulnerable to this, that, or the other. And we're going to be just naturally more addicted. We all know that science really has proven that to some degree. That's really, really true. Then he took a step back and he said, wait a minute. All I did was offer the rat two choices, regular water and then this chemical-filled based water. I didn't give them anything else to bond with. So what he did is he created what he called a rat park. A rat park, Disneyland for rats. He put little balls that rats like to play with. He put tunnels in there. He put spinny things. He put cheese everywhere. If it was a male rat in the cage, he blessed the male rat with a female rat so that they could get ratty and do whatever rats do in a cage. He did all this fun stuff and then left the regular water with the chemical-laced or based water. In the previous study, 100% of the rats overdosed. In Rat Park, not one single rat overdosed on the chemical-infused water. Suddenly, he had what then he considered to be a breakthrough on the study of addictions, which is when we do not bond with that which makes us strong, we are incredibly vulnerable to the wrong desires that we have. On the other hand, when we are bonding with those things that make us healthy, when we are bonding with those things that make us strong, we are incredibly more resistant to the addictions and life-controlling issues and compulsive behaviors that take so many of us down. I don't care what it is that might be a controlling, life-controlling issue to you. I don't care what you're addicted to, what compulsions drive you. I have my issues, believe me. And when I tell you there are those things I'm more vulnerable to what my flesh desires, it's there and it's strong when I am less connected to that which makes me strong. What do you do to get spiritually stronger? We've talked last week that whatever you feed grows, and whatever you starve dies. And how we need to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit and follow the promptings of His Spirit to help feed our spirit. I also know today let's talk about for a minute feeding our spirit nature. I want my spirit to be connected to that which makes me strong. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, dedicated and committed to pleasing Him, you want your spiritual nature to be strong. Because you know as well as I that our flesh is weak and vulnerable. I also know I can be a little stronger for a little while. But after resisting and resisting, there's going to be a moment, perhaps when I'm not as strong as I was, and weakness sets in. I want spiritually to be at my best. I want spiritually to be connected to the one who makes me strong, because the one who makes me strong always gives me a way out. He always gives me a way out. How do we feed our spirit and become spiritually stronger? How do we do that so we can withstand the weaker moments of our flesh? I want to talk today just about three things. If you are a committed follower of Jesus, these three things are absolutely essential for your spiritual strength and for your survival. How do we feed our spirit to be spiritually strong? Three things. First of all, we're going to feed our spirits with prayer. Feed your spirit, feed your intimacy with God, toward God, in prayer. Why? Because just like exercise makes the body stronger, prayer makes the spirit strong. Let me say it again. Just like exercise strengthens your body, so prayer can strengthen our spirit. In fact, Jesus said this in Matthew 26, verse 41. He said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Watch and pray that you fall not into temptation. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. When Jesus was teaching His disciples to pray, which we have come to know as the Lord's Prayer, He says in that Lord's Prayer, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Prayer is a great weapon against temptation because it can strengthen your spirit. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Prayer is a great weapon against temptation. Those words are very important. Watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. When asked by a friend after your involvement maybe in the consequences of a sin, you failed, you sinned, and a good friend said, "What did you do?" And you said, I fell into sin. I fell into this which I didn't want to do. No one ever says, have you noticed, I fell into righteousness? I just fell into it. Have you ever heard anyone said, I was just going along and I tripped into holiness. I just became holy. How did that happen? No idea. Amazing. I just fell into obedience and righteousness, and now I'm so righteous I can barely live with myself. It's amazing. No, that doesn't happen. You trip and fall into temptation. But righteousness is only through intentional pursuit of the goodness of God. Watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. Jesus said this when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. Jesus already had the Passover meal, the Last Supper with his disciples. Jesus had already identified Judas as the one who would betray him. And then Jesus told his disciples, in Matthew 26, this very night, you will fall away on account of me. An impetuous Peter said, no, Lord, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Matthew 26, 33. And Jesus replied to Peter and he said, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will have disowned me three times. Insistent, Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. And then Jesus went with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, right outside of Jerusalem, and said to them, sit here while I go away and pray. Then he took Peter, James, and John further along with him. And he began to just pour out his heart, speaking from the depths of his being regarding the severity of what he was about to face. He was sorrowful. He was troubled. And he said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here. Stay here and keep watch with me. And going on a little further, Jesus fell with his face to the ground and he prayed. And he prayed that this cup of suffering would pass from him. Jesus was in prayer. He was battling. He was battling in his soul against those overwhelming spiritual oppositions. And also, he was battling against his own being, his own emotions, knowing the pain, knowing the torture and the suffering that he would endure just a little while down the road. And it was in prayer where Jesus was struggling within himself against all of his own fleshly weakness and against all the spiritual forces opposed to God, that it is at that point in time in prayer, with this overwhelming struggle, that Jesus came to that place of full surrender. And it was in that place of prayer where he reaffirmed his surrender and his yieldedness to the Father and said, not as I will, but as you will. It was in that place of prayer where Jesus experienced the ultimate victory over his humanity and became willing to go to the cross. It was in that place of prayer where the enemy was assaulted and driven from the garden by the power of a surrendered heart and will. The victory and the triumph of the cross, friends, was ultimately the victory that was won at Gethsemane. When Jesus battled in prayer and finally said, "Let this cup of suffering pass from me, but not as I will, but as you will." The resolve of Christ through intense and fervent prayer to surrender fully to the Father was the victory won over the flesh and won over sin. The glory of the cross was the result of a victorious Gethsemane. While Jesus was agonizing in prayer and came to this wonderful place of surrender, Peter, James, and John were found sleeping. And Jesus, disappointed, he asked Peter, he said, "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for just 1 hour? Watch and pray. You will not fall into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." They didn't grasp the importance and the urgency of the moment. They didn't even think about the prophecy of Jesus that they would fall, that one day they would fall away. Instead of praying for strength, and instead of wrestling with some of those inner struggles of their own to overcome the flesh after Jesus had prophesied of their falling away, they just didn't pick up on the urgency of it, the importance of it. And so they just yielded to their flesh-like nature to sit back, relax, fall asleep. Friend, prayer is the key point in overcoming temptation. It's a very important point in overcoming temptation. Watch and pray that you fall not into temptation. And then the prayer of Jesus, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Remember last week I talked briefly about a prayer of submission and surrender. When I'm not submitted to God, I'm more vulnerable to temptation. When I'm submitted to God, my spirit nature is stronger and able to withstand the temptations that come against my flesh. If you weren't here last week, I shared with you about a prayer that I picked up several years ago in Des Moines. And it goes along with Romans chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, where it says, "Do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies and obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves as unto God, as every part of yourself as an instrument of righteousness." And so out of that prayer of yielding every part of yourself unto God, it's beautiful to be able to position your heart each day and say, "God, I submit my mind to you. I submit my mind to you. Help me to have the mind of Christ, the attitude of Christ. Help me to have the perspective of Christ. God, I submit my eyes to you that I will not look on anything that is impure and displeasing to you. Lord, I submit my ears to you that I would hear what the Spirit is saying to me, the church, that I would only hear what is consistent with your word. Lord, I submit my mouth to you that my words would only be used to build up rather than to tear down. Lord, I submit my heart to you, that which is so deceitful above all things. God, give me a pure heart, pure motives to serve you in every way. God, I give you my hands that I might serve you, serve others today. God, I submit my feet to you today that I might walk in the Spirit, that I would be used to lift up your name in every way. Submit my whole life to you. Today, I submit my entire self. Strength that comes through prayer. Strength that comes through yieldedness in prayer. I don't know what this will look like for you, but maybe your prayer is this: lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. God, make Christ in me stronger than the wrong appetites that are in me. God, may you always continue, as you are faithful, to give me a way out. Prayer doesn't always have to be down on your knees. Prayer doesn't always have to be a 1 hour period of strong, fervent intercession. Prayer, it can be shotgun prayer, in a moment type of prayer. God, help me. God, lead me. God, empower me. God, give me a way out. Just pray. Just pray. Just pray. You know it right now. This is the area I need to address, you may be saying. This is the area. I'm too inconsistent. I'm too sporadic. I'm not focused on God. This is your one area that you know that you need to strengthen. Some of you are here saying, I need to build my prayer life. Strengthen your spirit in prayer, friend. Second thought, you need to feed your spirit with God's word. You need to feed your spirit with God's word. I love the question that David asks in Psalm 119, verse 9. He says, how can a young man stay on the path of purity? What a great question. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? He didn't say by living according to whatever culture says is cool and is what is nice and great at the time. He didn't say by living according to what all your friends may be doing, by living according to what you see and you read every day. How can a man keep his way pure? David says, by living according to your word. He said, God, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. He said, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I might not sin against you. In the beginning, the Bible speaks about was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word dwelt among us. The Word became flesh, Jesus Christ. And now, since He has ascended to the Father, He has given us His written Word and His Spirit. And the Word of God is living, the Hebrew writer says. It's active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. When we talk about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, the Word is the only offensive weapon. The helmet is defensive. The shield is a defensive weapon. The breastplate of righteousness is defensive. The belt holding your breeches up, that's really important. The shoes are prepared with the gospel. The only offensive weapon is the Word of God. And this is how Jesus fought back against the attacks and temptations of Satan after 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. He said, Satan said to Jesus, well, why don't you just turn these stones into bread? And Jesus said to him, no, it is written, every man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Satan then came again, saying, why don't you throw yourself off the building and let the angels catch you? And Jesus again said, no, it's written, man shall not put the Lord God to a test. Satan came again, why don't you bow down and worship me? Jesus said, no, It is written, I will worship the Lord my God and He only. It is written. It's written. You hide His word in your heart that you will not sin against Him. Somebody says, I'm not good at just hiding God's word in my heart. I'm not good at memorizing. Well, I think you memorize a number of other things. You memorize some of the channels on the TV. You got those down. You can memorize. I can memorize. I remember with the Navigators ministry, they've put out some great scripture memory programs. And with the 2-7 series that I participated in when I was several years ago, they had 5 different scriptures to begin this series with. The assurance of salvation. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that has life has the Son of God, and he does not have life does not have the Son of God. And the assurance of answered prayer, and then the assurance of temptation, overcoming temptation. And then 1 Corinthians 10:13 is there. There is no temptation common to you, but such is common to man. Friends, we can hide God's word in our heart. There are scriptures that will help you deal with whatever your struggle, your issues are. There are scriptures that can just resonate with that battle. And if we have those in our heart, it's so important. You have an offensive weapon with the Word of God to counter temptation. And we can overcome so many powers of the enemy. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And he overcame him by the word of by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. God is faithful. He'll not let me be tempted above that which I'm able. There's a hyper grace button here that's found in God's word. And I'm finding the button and I will find the way out. Some of you, this is yours right now. You're absent of God's word. It's just not a part of your life on a regular basis. And the word of the Lord is come, open me, and embrace my word for your heart. It can transform your mind. It can help you take the trash out of your mind, and it can replace the eternal truth of God's word. We're not just to be in physical shape. We're to grow stronger spiritually, and we grow stronger through prayer. We grow stronger through God's word. And thirdly, we're going to feed our spirit with the right people. 1 Corinthians 15:33-34 tells us, Paul is very direct. He doesn't pull any punches here. He's not being politically correct at all. He says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. Is it possible that some of you right now, you are being misled by believing the people you are hanging with are not impacting your lives? No, they are. But the reality may be that they may be taking you down spiritually, who you're hanging with. He says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. Then he says, come back to your senses as you ought. And what? Say it with me. Stop sinning. Cut it out. Stop it. Don't go there. Stay away from it. Stay far from it. Stop hanging out with the wrong people, letting them bring you down so you're doing the wrong things, getting caught in what is destroying you. We have to understand this. Being around the wrong people never helps you do the right thing. Let me say that again. Being around the wrong people never helps you do the right thing. It's so important. Quite honestly, some of you may need some friendship upgrades. You don't need to go to them and say, sorry, you don't make the cut. I'm upgrading you for somebody else. But the truth is, you may have to do that at some point. In other words, if you're struggling with alcohol, you're not on Friday night out with the same old group going to the bar. You got some different kinds of friends, okay? If you're overcoming a sugar addiction, you're not going to join the small group that's meeting at the donut shop for their small group meeting. In the book of Proverbs, wise Solomon put it like this: he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Someone else along the way took that same bit of wisdom and gave it a little bit more of a familiar twist. Paul, one bad apple spoils the whole bunch. It spoils the whole barrel. The point of that potent little proverb, obviously, is not to solicit concern for the bad apple. Oh, that poor apple, that poor rotten apple. The point is to warn the good apples, the fellow barrel dwellers. Watch out who you bump up against, or you could end up soft and mushy and good for nothing. In a word, rotten. That's the nature of association with things that are breaking down. When you closely associate with deterioration, you tend to deteriorate, to rot. You see, rot spreads. Ever notice the phenomenon even in neighborhoods? Apples, friends, neighborhoods tend to take on the characteristics of those nearby. Homes seem to run in groups. Nice neighborhoods are just that. Run-down neighborhoods are just that. Seldom do you find one really nice home, well-maintained, fastidiously kept, in a neighborhood of deteriorating, run-down, used-up homes. And people who care about their homes try to move out of a bad neighborhood if they possibly can. Apples deteriorate. Weeds proliferate. Disease is contagious. Rust corrupts. And the wrong kind of friends can greatly affect you. Friends, when chosen carefully, are a wonderful, even essential part of your life. But poorly chosen friends can hurt you. Friendship. Real, solid, life-enriching friendships always take the high road. True friendships travel the straight path. Friendship never lurks in alleyways, never hangs out in the darkness. Friends never leave you in a trap. Friends, true, always try to lift up, never drag you down. Friends, don't let friends self-destruct. Friends, don't lead friends where they shouldn't go. Bad company is not good. But may I also add, no company is not good either. It's not good that a man be alone. Period. We weren't made for it. We're not made for isolation. And left to it, we die. And perhaps that's why solitary confinement is so cruel and unusual form of punishment, as some and many believe. Isolation breaks a man down. As any prisoner of war will tell you, the roughest part is the aloneness. The aloneness. Stephen Paddock, the mass murderer here this past week that we've become very familiar with, in the Las Vegas massacre, he was described by neighbors and others as a real loner, quote unquote. He became increasingly isolated. Obviously, that wasn't his only problem, but that could have been certainly a major part of what was happening. And friends, sin grows best in the dark. We can't afford to have bad company, and we can't afford to have no company. It's absolutely critical in order for us to truly be victorious in life. Following Jesus is being around people who sharpen us. Where iron sharpens iron, strengthening us, who love us enough to speak the truth to us in love. There's something about it when there's someone that you can go to immediately and say, here's what I almost did. Here's what I'm thinking about. Here's what happened. Someone who loves you enough to say, you know what? That's twice now in the last 3 months. Let's make a change in how we're handling things. Someone who's going to say, you know what? I'm not going to judge you, but let's deal with this severely. Someone who cares enough to say, we're not going to go back there. God has something better for you. You're not going to live in this dwelling of the past. Let's take a step. Let's go forward. There's some of you right now, you're lacking the depth of real spiritual community. We need each other. Listen, the church is not something we go to. We are the body of Christ, and we are family, and we are to be vulnerable and supportive of each other. When we come together, we're strengthened as we worship together. We are strengthened when we open up and we care for each other in circles and pour out our lives. We're strengthened when we do life together. Why are we so weak? Because we're not connected and bonded with that which makes us strong. So it's important that we connect and bond with what makes us strong. Prayer makes us strong. God's word makes us strong. Spiritual community makes us strong. Our God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will also make a way to escape that you may be able to endure it. Would you stand with me, please? Is there one of these three that really stands out to you? Of the three different emphases, is there one that just really resonates with kind of where you're at? I'm sure all of us can find improvement and help in these three areas, but is there one that just really can be beneficial to you? Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would encourage us and stir within us. God, I know that there are people right now that recognize it's spiritual friendships for them. They've got to build relationships with friends that can build up rather than tear down. Lord, for others, God, it's your word that's neglected. Oh God, your word is so accessible to us. It's available on our smartphones. It's available in the written word, written page. It can come over CD. It can be there for us. Help us, Lord, especially to find those passages in your word that can really strengthen us and help us in the area of vulnerability and weakness. Lord, help us to always pray. Help us, God, to always be in conversation with you through the day, yielding, surrendering ourselves to you. provided a way out. You've provided a way escape. Help us, Lord, to bond with that which can make us stronger. Bond with prayer, your word, and others. We just pray for this in Jesus' name. If you are here this morning and you'd like to have someone join you in prayer regarding a matter, I'm confident that just from some of the feedback that I've been getting the last couple weeks, there are people that are dealing with temptations, that are struggling, losing the battle. And friend, I'm just trying to share some of the helps that are in God's word to bring us to a point of strength. Our spirit indeed is willing, but our flesh is so weak. Somehow we've got a bond with that which makes us stronger. So I want to encourage you to pull out all stops. I want you to be so sick and tired of being sick and tired of failing in an area, and that you will do whatever it's needed to gain victory. Gain victory. It's there for you. It's there for me. If you aren't a follower of Jesus, you know that you're not following Jesus. It's very clear. It's very apparent. The one who died for you, the one who gave himself for you, and who's able to forgive you of your sins. You know you're not a follower of Jesus. I want to encourage you and ask you to make a decision to follow Christ. Open your heart to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I need to receive you as my personal Savior. I believe you're the Son of God. And I ask you into my life by faith. There's somebody here that needs to make that decision this morning. Let's open our hearts to the Lord and let's receive His strength, His grace for us to live victorious, overcoming temptation. Feel free to come for prayer if you would like. May God, your blessing be upon your church today. Help us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill and gratify the desires of our flesh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.